Tonight we continue with our studies in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. Last week we looked at from verse 1 to 7. And Apostle Paul was rebuking the believers at Corinth about their immature and carnal conduct, and referred to them as babies. You cannot talk to them as mature people. You cannot speak to them as spiritual people, but those who are carnal, referring to them as babies in Christ. As they were envying and there was strife and divisions among them, and that this has led to disunity in the church. And the sad thing is that the church of Jesus Christ, that's where love and true sympathy should reign. And yet, we can see that as believers still have their flesh with us. If we don't take care of these things, which of the flesh can pop their heads within churches. And so the church members had made parties of different preachers who had ministered among them. And the common one, Apostle Paul mentioned himself, Apollos, and Cephas. And chapter 1, but here he only used himself and Apollos. But then it seems there were others whom this party spirit, were also directed at. And afterwards, he reminded them that they, as preachers of God's word, were servants of the Lord. They were just mere servants. They are nobodies in themselves. They are mere servants who are there to serve the Lord, so that whatever edification the church had from their ministries, it was due to the Lord's blessing on their work. So that whatever they see in any minister of the word to them, they shouldn't think of the person, the Lord who has really caused it to be so. So that whatever blessing they had from anyone's ministry, they should rather turn their heart to Him, not to any one of the ministers. So he seems to say that they belong to Christ and not to the preacher. No matter how blessing you have received from any preacher, if the preacher is genuine, he's always turn our heart to the Lord, not to himself, not to what his personality. We may like people merely, but that shouldn't bring us to in the church of Jesus Christ, bring divisions in that sense. Tonight we continue, and that we look at, as we can look at only verse 8 and 9, look at the connection and how the whole thing is about, and how that these two passages should have been added to the previous 1 to 7, but it was too much for the last time. We couldn't go to that far, so we look at only these two verses tonight. And these verses also, Apostle Paul continues his admonition against their misconduct. So it's part of his admonitions against their misconduct. And the subject is the church, God's husbandry and building. The church being figured as God's husbandry and building. Like God's husbandry has to be God's farm or cultivated land, so God's farm and his building. And as we go on, we see this figure of speech and what it meant for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are one of those whose heart God has changed, and that who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, have repented of sin, who rest in Him for salvation and life, and we are each and every day living for Him, then our support figure is for us, and it's also important for us to know how this figure indeed speaks about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So each of the figures that is used in the church in the New Testament has something to teach us, and it's really amazing that we can have such figures. So here, in these two verses, Apostle Paul used two metaphors as a figure of speech to describe God's church. And as I said, this will instruct us about God's church and also how we look at even the labors of his ministers and how we ourselves relate in the church and how we must indeed live in this, how this metaphor describes us if we are believers in Christ. And it's amazing. Okay, so I began with verse 8. Now he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So here, if we can remember, in verse 6 to 7, the previous verses, Apostle Paul had used a metaphor from farming when, as the picture was planting and watering of plants, planting of seeds and watering of plants. That was the picture he gave there. And where these two activities or these two labors of a farmer is to contribute to the farm field, I mean the planting of seed and the watering, the other, which has to do with the maintenance of the farm. If you don't plant, there's no plant to water, and if you don't water a plant, it will die. So that both are so important to cultivation of the land, and mostly where there's a dry place where it doesn't rain often. We have to water the plant that has been planted, so in the northern part of our country. So those of us who have been to farming, I think we have gardens in the homes. We sometimes water our plants. If you don't water them, even flowers, if you don't water them, they die. So that's the picture here. So this is the picture he wants us to see. So that this figure he used is in a comparison. He was comparing his preaching ministry and that of Apollos to the Corinthians, and he was comparing this their ministry to like a farmer. He used that, the work that a farmer does in his planting and also in his watering. That's how he's using the ministry of the two. And then we see also that he compares his work, because he was the one who actually, he was the first preacher of the gospel at Corinth. And by his preaching, his work, God established the church there. So we can see that he's using his first work, he being the first worker, preacher of the gospel, he compares that to the planting of seeds. So his work is the planting. God, so he said that I planted and what? Apollos what? Watered. So he's the first preacher. He sowed the gospel. The gospel, the word of God, is the seed, the truth which was preached there. People at Corinth, and some came to believe through God's own working. So that is the seed of the gospel. And while he looks at Apollo's work as of edification of these believers who came to believe by the gospel he preached, so he compares his work also to watering of the germinated seed. So that when a farmer plants the seed, there's a watering when the seed have germinated. So his was to preach. He's the first preacher. He was the first preacher at Corinth. He was the one who by his work, the Lord established a church there, so he planted. And also he said, Apollos watered. And so that's the comparison he's doing here. Now he that planted and he that watered are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So now he that planted and he that watered, Apostle Paul is just telling us his ministry and that of Apollos had one common purpose. You see, they had one common purpose. The ministry of God's word to these Corinthians had only one common purpose. There wasn't any divided purpose or different purpose for them preaching the word of God. There were only servants who labored for their Lord. He tells us in verse 5. And the whatever work they did there, it had only one purpose. It had only one aim, and it was aimed at only one thing, to make them believers and also build them up in the faith. So now he that planted and he that watered are one. Though I started the work by the ministry of preaching the gospel to you, and you turn to the Lord when his spirit worked in your heart, and Apollos came later on to edify you with various truths of God's word to build you up in the faith, yet it is the same work, and our work doesn't bring any division about our purpose. God's purpose for his church is only one. And he moves on, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So the reward of the workers, this labor, preachers are God's ministers. His labor, they labor in his church, and it's like when somebody employs you, he pays you that also. And here, and also your work is rewarded. And here, so the Lord is the one who has to what? Reward. Everyone receives his own reward for his labor. So God sent. He enabled his ministers, he sent them to preach, and he is the one to reward them. And only these are for the only true ones, but there are many preachers, pastors, and who are not true. They rather lead people from Christ, they lead people to sin, they make people even to hate God's truth. They are not ministers, they are not God's servants. You see, those who really teach and point people to the Lord. I mean, sinners to the Savior, and believers to trust in the Lord and to grow in His truth and to be firm in the things of the Lord. These are the true preachers of God's word. And they alone, God will reward. But those who are false, God will punish. Yes, He will reward them in the negative way. But that's, He's telling us that God that's why reward His servants. I mean, if somebody is a preacher, a pastor of the church, it's the Lord's work that he does. And that's what he has to always remember. And that's God's work. Though a church may appoint you to be a pastor or a preacher, you serve the church, but you are not servant to the church. Yes, in the way you serve the church, but God, you are God's servant. And you obey him, you don't obey man. Because there are many who are servants merely of the church. They obey people in the church and to disobey God's will. No, a true preacher, a true servant of God, obeys only God's will. You don't obey human beings and opinions. God's word is your standard, it's your rule. It doesn't matter who anybody. God is your master. If you are a preacher of God's word, you are a pastor of a church, you are not a servant to humans, any authority. You are a master, you are a servant of the Lord. So this reminds us that we always remember that it is of the Lord's kindness that He rewards His servants. Because he supplies all that we need to do His work. The skill, the wisdom to understand His word, and the abilities even to preach it so that people can understand it. It's God who gives us such abilities, and He supplies all this. So that the reward He gives to His servants are out of grace. You see, in secular work, what do? You go with your skill and your abilities to do, and you are paid. But here the Lord Himself gives the ability, gives the skill. No true preacher preaches or learns His word, the word of God, and able to preach the word by his own understanding. God who gives, and also even the strength to continue to preach God's word is from Him. He gives, He enables, and He gives. Except that person or preacher or pastor is not a genuine person. Also, His rewards, God's rewards to His servant, applies to every Christian worker. Not apostle to preacher, but we think of every Christian who serves the Lord in every any capacity. We are all servants. Not only preachers or pastors, but every preacher, every Christian is a servant of the Lord. We ought to serve Him. We ought not to be, if we are genuine Christian, we ought not to be just church attendants and we go home. Church attendees, yeah, sorry. We go to church, we go home, and that's all. No, we have to serve the Lord in whichever capacity. We may all not be preachers, but the Lord, there's so much work to be done in the Lord's house. So that whatever work we do for the Lord, let's always remember He rewards us. And His reward to us is in proportion to what commitment we give to His work. Am I a Christian? Am I a believer? I serve the Lord whichever capacity. The Lord has promised to reward me. But according to my commitment. Then also, in secular work, how are we rewarded? How are we promoted? And so when you are employed, you are put at probation. They give you a certain salary. After probation, they will increase it. So if you don't do well, your salary may be flattered or you may be sacked. See that? And in spiritual sense, the Lord rewards us. You see? He rewards us. Both with spiritual blessings and even with temporal blessings. Because when we are obedient to the Lord, we may lose many temporal things. But the Lord Himself will provide. And when it comes to spiritual things, it's abundance. He will give us His peace, His love, and so much comfort in times of suffering. The Lord provides. And the Christian who serves the Lord tastes of God's peace and comfort in times of suffering than the Christian who doesn't serve the Lord. And that's a known fact in Scripture. The Lord will never... He will not withhold this blessing from the one who serves Him with his whole life. The Lord will be with him. That's a truth of Scripture. So are we serving in the children ministry? Are we stewards in the Lord's house? Are we part of the evangelism ministry? Are we preachers? If we do our work as voluntary workers, God will also reward us as volunteers. I'm sure we know how volunteers are rewarded. Then also, some are not even paid at all. Volunteers, they are not even paid. They may be given some tips or maybe some provisions, but they are not paid for their work. So if we do God's work as volunteers, God will also reward us. as volunteers. But if we do everything as his true servants, who are committed to his work and we want to live and die and do his work, he will reward us accordingly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, we are encouraged. Let me read it to you. That we should be fervent in the work of the Lord, for he promised to reward us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is to all believers. You see, we should what? Because the apostle, I mean, the church of Jesus Christ, God, how did Jesus Christ made his church? Every true church is a working church. You see, it's a church that every believer has something to do. So that is it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whatever I do in the name of God, even Lord Jesus Christ said, some people giving water, cool water to a preacher in the name of the Lord bless. Because the preacher is genuine, his servant. So you see, the Lord, though, as I said, he enables for all that we do, and yet it's amazing that he has promised to bless us. And we should also know that Christian service is part of godliness. Godliness, to be pure and holy and to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ after conversion, as we have been sanctified and growing in the image of Christ. Christian service is part of that. How the Lord Jesus Christ, how did he live on it? He served the Lord. He was ever about his Father's business. So it is with every believer, the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, God has promised to bless us in our commitment, even in godliness. God has, in 1 Timothy, let me read that to you, that godliness has a blessing in living this life. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, and which has to be Christian service. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, for bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. So in this present life, if we pursue godliness, which in Christian service is part of it, there's a promise of blessing in this life, if I'm a believer. Yes, the greater blessing is when, this world comes to an end. But in this life, and I mentioned some of them, the peace of God and his comfort, the comfort of the Spirit, and that are support in times of difficulties and that has been those who have to lose temperance, and the Lord will provide. He will not let them. He will provide. He will provide for his people. The Lord will provide for his people's needs. And even in our, concerning our financial support for the Lord's work, how we are committed to that, the Lord blesses according to that. You see how amazing the Lord does the thing? In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, these are the words of Apostle Paul. By this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Here's a reference to giving for the Lord's work. If I give sparingly, the Lord will also bless and sparingly. That is it. You see, some believers, they may spend so much on some things which are, of course, they've got not so much for those. There are options that they can have, but then they'll go for that so that they will spend so much on it. But no. If we can do that and we give sparingly to the things of the Lord, we are not being right as believers. The Lord things must have a priority. If only we are to, as I say, godliness. This is a part of godliness. The Lord will give to support his work. And again, the Lord, he does so it, gives sparingly, the Lord will bless. He also reaps sparingly, the blessings will bless. So this is about we ourselves, the Lord blessing. Suppose Paul said that God will bless according to what? Our labors. Let me read to you verse 8. Now he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. It cuts across every aspect of a Christian's life. And especially this has to do with service and things we do for the Lord. Hear purely about that. And it cuts across all aspects of our commitment. I'll go to verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. we are. So here he first speaks of the ministers of God. So for we are himself apostle, preacher, and of the church. He and Apollos and all other ministers. So all true ministers of the gospel, as I've earlier said, have their gift and calling from God. And this gift and calling, their work, they don't work alone. They work with him in his church. That's why, for we are laborers together with God. We are laboring for him together with him. And to work with God here doesn't mean that they are his coordinate. The preachers are coordinates of God. They are his colleagues. No. It means they are subordinate workers. We work with people who are superior. And also, here is the picture. We are laborers together with God. God is the master. God is the owner of his church. And we work with him by obeying his will and by conducting ourselves according to his will. The Lord is our master. But we work with him. It's an amazing thing for the Lord to call sinners such as us to serve in his church and to make each one of his people, believers, serve him. And the Bible, we are here, we serve together with him. Whatever we do, we don't do in our own might, and except we are hypocrites, we do out of love for him, because he himself has first loved us. And we do with him and for his church, you see. Again, for we are laborers together with him. Again, all true ministers of the gospel also work together as fellow laborers in the church of God. You see? So the togetherness with God, and again with even the minister, the preachers, the ministers of God. So it is also a very amazing, surprising thing that if you can find in the church where probably the elders or the deacons, there's a conflict among them. It isn't right. We work with God and we work together. So how can I work for God? I'm one with him, but I am loggerheads with others who are also. It doesn't work. The Lord will not bless such a work. So you see, the Lord, we ask for grace. The Lord will always grant us that his church will, we will always have the grace to indeed work together as Apostle Paul teaches us here, out of love for the name of God. So here he says that, for we are laborers together with God. Yes, he is our master, and among ourselves, officers in the church, we also work together. That's why there's call for unity. How can we work together if they don't agree? You see, but then the Lord will bless the work where the officers agree. We are all looking to the Lord to help us. Indeed, we know that each one of us, we are not sufficient in our own self. So we look up to the Lord to enable us, and then we labor in his church. So that no minister of God is above another in this work. You see? No preacher, no pastor is above another pastor in this work. Though others may labor more than others. You see how God sees us. Remember the parable of when the Lord said that there was a farm holder who sent his people to go and call laborers to come and work in his church, in his field. Some were called earlier to come and labor for a long time. Some were called in a few hours or to the close of the day. But he paid them the same thing. You see? He paid them the same, and some of them were saying, why are you paying the same thing? He said that, can't I do with what I want with my money? So you see, the Lord rewards us according to our work. But then, no minister of God, no servant of God is above any other. You see, we are all equal in the eyes of God. So that there is no pastor of pastors. See, there's no pastor of pastors in the ministry, no archbishop of bishops. I'm sure we have heard of people when they think they have more branches and they are archbishop and they are bishops. And no, there's no archbishop of bishops. And yet, this doesn't mean that a younger pastor or minister have to despise the godly counsel of the older ones. No. Apostle Paul and Timothy, we can realize, Apostle Paul can tell Timothy, so long as godly, the younger pastor have to take it. Yes, that is. But then there is no bishop or bishops or pastor or pastors. That language is not in scripture. You see, we are asked to say what? For we are laborers together with God. Every pastor, minister is laboring equally with others in the farm, as we say, in the church of God. Let's also remember that Apostle Paul, though he was himself was an apostle, and also the founder of the church at Corinth. Yes, he did not raise himself above Apollos. Apollos wasn't an apostle. I thought we are all workers together. He didn't raise himself above Apollos. He only said they were laborers together. And this is a humble title, that also. The work laborers mean it's like, let me get just a picture of, like, let's say, okay, here is farm. If you have been in a farm, farm around Accra, if you go to a typical farming area where people get up early in the morning, they don't go and labor in their, in the bush, you know what farming is, and you come back late and all that. This is a picture of what the ministry, they labor together. They are not visionaries of God's church. So I'm sure we have heard some pastors call themselves visionaries and the overseers mean a part, but they don't mean overseers like I'm a big, like a CEO of a company. No. The church of the pastor or the preacher who leads the church is not the CEO of the church. He's just a humble servant. He must be just a humble servant. He serves his master. The church is the Lord, and everyone who labors in the church is their servant. I'm sure we see different pictures in so-called churches around and also where pastors and leaders of the church are like kings, and the church members have become like their servants. You know, they oppress them with all kinds of unnecessary things. No, the pastor, though yes, the preacher, the pastor has to be respected, but he is a servant of the Lord. It's a humbling title, and also nobody, it's a visionary in God's church. God himself is a visionary of his church. He has his plan, and we come to only implement his plan as servants, as ambassadors of his. He says again, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. So we look at the other part. Ye are God's husbandry. Now he speaks about the church itself. And as you can remember before, he has compared his work and that of Apollos to laborers who plant, and the farmer who as a planter, and also as an irrigator who irrigates farm. So he's continuing the same metaphor, and here he refers to the church as God's husbandry, meaning that the church is God's cultivated field. Because we know that a farm is a cultivated land. We may look at a whole vast field, planting weeds and everything. You cannot plant there for anything to give you any fruit. The weeds will choke it, and then there will be any other. But then the church is like a garden, like a well-cultivated land where the farmer has a plan for each plant, okay? Those who plant mixed cropping, I'm sure those of us who did that, great. You see, they will plant the corn, and they will add the tomatoes, and all pepper, they all grow in the same land, but he knows how to manage them. You harvest the corn, you harvest the tomatoes, you harvest on the same piece of land, you see? And that's the idea. God has a plan for his church. The church is cultivated field. It's not a wild forest where, dogs, every animal. So there's even a fence around the God's church, you see. The picture of the city of Jerusalem gives us, the walls coming, secure it from intruders and all that. But here is a spiritual matter. So the church of God is a cultivated institution, you see, so that he has a purpose for each one of us that he sees. Sometimes people think for granted that if people are genuine believers, God has, how do a farmer plant his farm? Every corn of seed, he sows it there. Every pepper or okra, he nests it and transplants them, space them, you see? And he weeds around it, and he applies the weedicide and the herbicide and everything. So they grow, he wants to have what harvest. So that's a picture Apostle Paul wants to see the church of God. So this was in rebuke to the attitude of those in Corinth who were having this thing that does not even really, picture the beauty of God's church, you see. The church is his own planting. So this shows the ownership, that the ownership of the church is for God. You see, there might be few people who have been congregated as a church of God, but as long as they are genuine, well, two or three people have gathered my name, they are mine in the midst of them. If they are genuine, they are the church of God. And whoever troubled the church of God, God will trouble him or her, you see. So that the church of God is his special care. We don't imagine for the church of God. We learn his word. We understand his will for his church. So ministers of the gospel are his servants. He sent to preach in his church. Is that not so? He sent to preach in his church. It is only sad that false pastors and preachers think they are masters of God's church. They have ideas that they want to bring to God's church. No. He sends his true ministers of the gospel to serve in his church. It is the Lord by his Spirit that he prepares the heart of sinners to receive the gospel. Let somebody be so one of the finest preachers in the world. Let him preach a thousands or millions of sermons. God did not prepare the human heart. If the Spirit do not awaken people from their sinfulness, if people are not illuminated, the darkness of unbelief is not taken away, no single soul can be saved. But it's the work of the Spirit to open sinners' hearts. It's the work of God. So the church says, he opens the heart of his sinners. If anyone gets to come to know the Lord, it is his word. It's not the preacher who has saved the person. He protects each individual believer from harm, of false doctrine and sin. What does the farmer do? He makes sure each plant is kept from, if it's a place where animals can come, he will fence it so that they cannot have access. Any one of them. So the Lord protects each individual of his members from false doctrine and sin. You see, he is able to do that. He also causes believers to bear fruit. Every fruit belongs to him. The fruit of the Spirit. You see, that's why it's not called the believer's fruit. Yet, he causes them to bear the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, it is called the fruit of God, not the fruit of the Spirit of God, not us. Yet, it is us who are supposed to produce it. Like the farmer, when he has harvested his fruit, does he say, the corn and tomatoes are for my plant? No, this is my harvest. Is that not so? So that whatever the Lord, whatever good thing the Lord produces through for the believer, it is the loss. It is for his own glory. That's the picture of the farm, you see. So it makes us realize how the Lord indeed, his eyes on us, and also his care. Sometimes we don't realize it. Okay, because of the many ideas around, and we seem to lose the hold of this, that the Lord indeed is careful with it. He really cares for his church. That each one of us must be careful in the church of God. Again, he says, ye are God's building. Here too, he compares the church to a building. So from agriculture to architecture, that also. And this term also shows that shows also God's ownership of the church. As you know that every building is erected by somebody. Every house is built by somebody. You cannot go to a house and say, well, this is my house. Have you built a house? God has built his house. So nobody has ownership. It's his. The pictures, God's what? It's a spiritual house of God who builds it. You see? So he formed believers into a church state. Every believer that are formed to a church state is a house of God. Just house of God, spiritual house. He laid the foundation on Jesus Christ. Everyone believer is saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved through him and he is our foundation. That's why God builds the church. He also indwells among believers by his Spirit. Each believer is a lively stone that he fixes into this house. In Peter, we are told that they are lively stones. And each one, though we have stones that they used to, those days, they used to build houses, like a brick, we say a brick today, are lively ones, not dead bricks. And he himself fixes us. He builds his church so that if we are a new believer, he has fixed us in the local congregation. See, if I am a believer, no matter how hot that pains, and I'm able to join the local church that is faithful, the Lord has fixed me there. I am responsible to the local congregation. See, there are many believers, they don't have this concept. The Lord builds us, he puts us in his church. And look at if a house is there, one breaks, well, I'm getting out. What will happen to the house? Another breaks, I'm getting out. Or I want to do what I like. Well, I want to turn myself to this ship. Though the shape should be maybe rectangular. No, I want to be this way. How hot will happen to the building? In the church of Jesus, people do that also. For me, I want this way, I want that way. If we look at the church as a building, spiritual church, and God has fixed us in, we cannot do the things we want. Except, as we say, we agree with each one of us. We cannot, answer to the purpose God has formed us. So they are not just mere terms. You are God's house boundary. You are God's building. How does being the building? There's a building. There's one roofing. She said, "No, me. I don't like this place." He goes out. When it rains, what happens? Leakage. That also. So it happens to each and every believer. For me, I in the church, I want to serve. And this time I'm saying, well, I don't want to serve. For me, particularly, this is the kind of service I want. You see, there's some believers. If it's not about teaching, they will not do it. No believer, no one is saying the church of God to his work is for me to clean. No. Each one of us can do that. Each one of us, if we are gifted to teach, can teach. So that what work is vacant for us, we ought to do if we love the Lord. It's a lost church. Are we part of the lost church? When we get to our homes, the house is ours, or we belong to a house. Are we happy to sit down and then maybe the window is torn, we look at it and we're sleeping? Nobody does that. But in the church of God, even when there's a work to be done, and that work, if I don't like some people, if I don't like it, no, we are a building of God. Each believer must be concerned for the building. Oh, we belong to, we cannot live in a house where it is breaking down and we live in unconcerned. No, nobody will do that in a normal life. And we do that sometimes in the church of God. No, ye are God's building. That's the idea. Who we care, we take care of God, that also. The Lord take off his shepherd, he has committed his church into his people's hands, you see. So that any breaches of God, remember how Nehemiah, he was crying to go to Jerusalem to help build the Jerusalem wall. You see how when he went, when they have broke all the days, he was happy because the enemies cannot intrude again. But how do we do with the church of God that we belong if we are part of God's church? Are we happy that maybe things in the church may be not going right? No. It should affect us and do whatever, even if it's a service to be offered, if it's something to be done, we shouldn't be happy that God's house is left unattended to. We are God's house. Each one of us, if we are genuine believers, we belong to the church of God. In the house, if a child leaves the work to other sisters or brothers, what do we say of that child? It's a lazy person, you see. In the house of God, each one of us have something to do if we are believers. We are, it's like anything that we are capable, we give ourselves to it. We don't look out on others for the last day. No, then we are not sure we are part of God's house. Am I part of God's house? Am I part of God's building? Then I should be concerned. Everything in God's house. So God builds each individual church. His ministers are all instruments whom he employs in this spiritual house. It's a spiritual house. Yeah, we come here physically, but it's a spiritual house because we worship God in spirit and truth. God relates to us, not in our physical bodies, but then all that has to be done physically, we have to do for the honor of his name, so that all the glory of God's house is due him. So that if I am the preacher, if somebody is a preacher, whatever the Lord will bless the church with, it's for his glory, not for me, not for you, not for anybody. If I am to maybe collect children, to drive for the children and bring them to Sunday school, through that the Lord saves and then many come to him, it's not for my glory or for something, it's for his glory. We serve him, not for anything, but for the love which he has loved us. And we ourselves want to love him. With our poor love, how can we love him like how he has loved us? So, this teaches us how privileged it is to be part of God's church. That also, he cares for the farming part, how he cares for us. Again, the building also teaches, but my concern for the building has to do with the kind of uniformity and the kind of how we are connected to each other as a church. That's how the church should be, you see. So, this teaches how privileged it is to be part of God's church. Every true believer is God's own making. Our salvation, our desire for holiness, our desire for heaven, our understanding of his truth, our desire to serve him are from him. If we are genuine children of God, we keep up the desire to serve him. Since in the Psalm, I forgot in the Psalm, said that a generation will serve him. Then also, yes, also when the Jesus Christ sat on a donkey and people were questioning and were trying to stop those people who were shouting, he said, if you these people keep quiet, the stones will shout for me. You see, it's a privilege to serve the Lord. If we don't serve him, the Lord will have his people to serve him. This God, I was talking about service to him, that also. If you don't, the Lord has his people. He can save new people, he can bring people whom whose hearts will bend. Look at when the Lord gave the kingdom of Israel to King Saul, and he misbehaved, what did the Lord say? He has taken the kingdom from him to other. In the service of God, if I am not committed, the Lord one day will make me redundant. See, the Lord is watching us. He looks upon us. He looks at our services. Look at what we do. If we are sincerely dependent, the Lord knows it. If we are just doing it as we want, the Lord knows our heart. See, He knows our heart. Also, each and every believer is an object of His love, object of His mercy, of His grace and His protection and care. Like the farmers, the farmer goes to his farm, or the florist goes to his flower, and he looks each one and how they are doing, and how to help. Some need pruning, some need more water, some need fertilizer, whatever He does, and He provides. The Lord does for us. But through His word, and when we feed on the word, the Lord helps us, and we're able to. He forgives us of us. He forgives His servants. See, He grants us so many blessings when we serve Him. And the interesting part is that all that the Lord God is doing in this world is for His church. In Matthew chapter 24, the Lord said that for the elect's sake, God will limit the troubles of this life. And also, it's for His church. And the day the church of Christ is taken out of this earth, the end will come. The day the Christ will come, and the trumpet shall shout, and then every believer, those who have died, they will rise up from their graves. And those who are alive will caught up together to be with Him in the air. So shall we ever be with Him. And then the destruction will begin in this world. It's a privilege to be part of God's church. That it is because of us, if we are believers in Him, that this world is still running. The day the Lord will take His church, the end of the world will come. You see? So this reminds us that if we are so privileged, it reminds us of our depth of love to Him, our obedience to Him, our service we owe to Him, and this message, how we must strive after holiness. In the Old Testament, we have the beauty, holiness, the beauty of His house. The term beauty, holiness becomes His house, you see, how we strive for this. Again, it also reminds us that the church is God's building, how we must behave ourselves carefully in this church. You see, how we must behave ourselves. How do we behave when we go to the house or the place or the office of a very respectable person? Even how careful we are even to say something. How careful we are to behave ourselves. You see? Remember, even Timothy was a pastor of the church, was exhorted to behave well in the house of God. Apostle Paul told him in 1 Timothy 3:15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Timothy was a pastor. So that from the pastor to everyone, we all have to learn how to behave ourselves in the house of God. Nobody is above the pastor or each and every member. It's not above obedience and how we have to be careful about the things of God. It's not the duty of only the pastor or the officers to be careful. Each one of us have to behave. We learn from the scripture how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. Apostle Paul told Timothy, "If I tarry long to come, that thou mayest," because He gave him instructions about for the church, how the elders should be appointed deacons and how people should relate and all the duties. And He said that if I tarry long, these are the instructions that you may know how to order the church of God. You see, it's amazing when you think of the church of God, except we are not converted. And so it gives us joy to realize we are believers that God, the creator of all this world, has us in His plans, and that you are part of. And indeed, each one of us ought to be. And that it also tells us that we must be careful about any disorderly acts in the church, envy, strife, division, disrespect, laziness. For the Lord will reward us according to our deeds. The Lord will, let me see if I have time to read this. I don't have time. But then in Hebrews chapter 14, verse 14 to 15, we are told of another duty. Let me just read it, I'm done. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14 down, if I'm not mistaken. It's not 14, there's no 14. I want to chapter 12. I'm coming. Yes, chapter 12, verse 14 down. Follow this to the church. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see God, see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, we look up, follow peace with all men, we strive as much as it is to live with peace between those who are unbelievers and then in the house of God. And holiness, which what? Follows what? Holiness. Anything that is sinful, we strive to avoid. And without which, we cannot see God. So that if we say we are believers and we are members of Christ's church and we are not striving after peace and holiness, we deceive ourselves. Without which, no one can see God. Our claims of knowing God will never be true. If we are not people ever striving for peace, with all and holiness.
You see?
And then looking diligently that the Lord will uphold us and the grace of God bestowed on us will work in its way for His own glory. May the Lord help us as we think about these things for the glory and the honor of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who saves and enables gifts people to serve in His church.